Today, the arrival of digital gold. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And I'm joined today by John Dean, who's got a very interesting story to tell about digital and gold and how it all comes together. Hi there, John.
Oh, hi, Martin. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great. Now, let's just start with introductions first. So just introduce yourself, if you'd be so kind.
Sure, I'm John Dean. I'm the CEO of Infinigold. My previous background, I was actually the head of commodities trading at JP Morgan in Asia as well.
Great. Okay. Now, this is a very interesting conversation, but it'll be slightly confusing to some people insofar that on one hand, you've got physical gold, right? Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, you've got digital. And what you've done is effectively join them together, right?
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. You know, obviously, I mentioned before I came from a traditional financial services background, and what financial services players generally do is they provide like a wrapper. They move physical assets like gold through some form of financial structuring to make it available to the general public. What we do at Infinigold is we actually take that gold directly from source and allow investors to invest directly in the physical asset without that wrapper around it. So what it gives them is a cheaper option, direct access to the physical metal, and an easier way to transact and hold the underlying asset.
Right. So basically it is digital, but it is linked to the underlying.
It is actually physical gold. So the best way to think about it is it's a physical metal, but the digital representation of that metal is the digital part.
Right. Okay. And it's traded on digital platforms, right?
Yeah, we have it available on the Independent Reserve down here in Australia. We have the Perth Mint Gold Token, which is we listed yesterday actually on the exchange. And it's also convertible into an application called Perth Mint Gold Pass, where you can take physical gold delivery anywhere you like.
Right. Now, one of the interesting discussion points about this is that there are a number of gold hybrid instruments out there that have some relationship to the underlying, but not necessarily a one-to-one relationship to the underlying. So Does yours have a one-to-one relationship?
Oh, 100%. So we actually just licensed the technology to the Perth Mint. The Perth Mint, if you're not aware, is one of the world's largest gold refiners. It does 10% of the refined metal in the world. It also has a government guarantee on all the gold that it's held within the mint. Our gold is checked on a daily basis, obviously, that it's matched one for one. And then PMGT is also auto-checked with it matches to GoldPass Digital Certificates one for one, which is available on the Perth Mint website.
Right. Okay. So there's no risk of one-to-many relationships. I know that in some exchanges around the world, that's a bit of a problem. And does it track does the price of the digital instrument effectively track the gold price, or how does that work?
Well, it should, right? So because the metal is, PMGT is physically deliverable, so you can actually take physical delivery. It would be silly for somebody to trade this outside actual market prices, so the spot price of gold, because there's an arbitrage opportunity. You can always convert it back into Gold Pass and sell it directly back to the Perth Mint, who's streaming a live price of gold. So if someone was to trade PMGT, outside, some sort of price spread, they'd be arbitraged all day long because, as I said before, the Perth Mint is, the world's largest refiner and known by the government. So they're also streaming a price 24/7. So you could just buy PMGT and sell it back to Gold Pass and be arbitraged. So that's kind of, I guess, the relationship and why it would always track physical metal.
Okay, right. So it'll always track the two. And what's the smallest unit that can be traded?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, reality is it's infinitely fractionable. So you could trade down to 1 cent if you really wanted to, like 1 cent of whatever that works out into an ounce. But generally speaking, most people trade. It's probably a minimum size around $5.
Okay, right. And do people tend to trade to hold or trade to speculate?
Right now is an interesting time for the gold market. I don't know, Martin, if you know much about gold, but it's obviously gold's very much back in vogue given what's happened with COVID-19, but really the last 30 years of government debt levels, and it's created a lot of volatility in the market. So we're actually seeing a number of participants who are coming in, one, to play the, you know, the government debt story, devaluation of fiat currencies, et cetera, who I'd say are more long-term holders of gold and having as part of their portfolio, 2-5%. And then I think we're also seeing a number of day traders in there taking advantage of the volatility of the market and realizing gold as an asset is a lot more attractive, liquid as well, asset to trade. And so we are seeing, you know, a big sort of, I guess, both sides of the coin playing in the space.
Right. And presumably that helps liquidity.
Yes, it does. It definitely helps liquidity. Gold, in essence, is a highly liquid asset globally. And because of that link, again, I'll just say it again, we have PMGT, the token listed on Independent Reserve, has infinite liquidity because it's always convertible back into gold pass, and the Perth Mint is always streaming a price. So regardless what the liquidity may show on the blockchain, there's always liquidity because you can convert it instantaneously and for free back into gold pass. But in saying that, you know, I think within the tokenized ecosystem, adoption of digital assets or digital real world assets like gold is definitely increasing. We're seeing an increasing number of family offices interest to come and buy tokenized versions of gold and hold that in that format. I don't think we've seen the traditional market makers enter the space yet, like the Optivers or the DRWs, who have probably looked at crypto assets, but they haven't looked at digitized assets and looked at sort of, you know, really arbitraged CME markets versus PMGT. And so I think when they realize that PMGT is actually deliverable into assets like CME COMEX futures, you will start to see significant more market participation from the traditional sort of market makers.
Right. And the so digital assets that are held there, are they held in some sort of digital wallet, or what structure are they contained within?
In PMGT, you're talking about? So PMGT is on the Ethereum blockchain. So yes, you can hold it in a Nano, you can hold it in your hot wallet, cold wallet. It's really the user's choice. Yeah. Within GoldPass, it's a digital wallet. So exactly the same solution, which is provided by the Perth Mint.
Okay, right. And that's obviously got the standard degree of security and encryption, all those other good things.
Yeah, exactly right. Actually, the company InfiniGold was originally born out of DigiCash, which you may have heard of and probably know. So DigiCash and that technology is what originally underpinned the solution we provided for the Perth Mint. We took that technology, reconstructed it into effectively a gold product, and created really what is GoldPass today. So it is extremely secure. It's bank-grade security. It's cryptographically secure and infinitely fractionable at source with the Perth Mint. Best way to think about it is a private blockchain there. And then when it's converted onto chain, onto a public chain, obviously it's within the Ethereum network.
Right. And just to be clear, of course, there are multiple versions of these sorts of products around the world, right, as I understand it. And it's picking up quite a lot of speed. And I assume that it isn't just gold, but there could be other commodities that could follow suit.
Yeah, there's a number of gold products out there. I mean, there's a number of gold providers. I think with the other providers, not to talk about whether ours is better or worse, but a lot of the other gold providers, they're trying to recreate what the Perth Mint is already, right? So they're doing vaulting agreements, they're creating really all the partners and then creating a token on the back of that. What we do is we license technology to the supplier, so license technology to the precious metal industry, which is really an on-off ramp for the commodity to move on-chain. So you're not creating that extra wrapper. And coming back to what I said before around financial institutions, I think a number of these tokenized assets out there are really just another version of a financial institution providing some form of wrapper. What we do is we give them the technology, and if they want to put it on chain, they can put it on chain, or not if they don't want to put it on. In relation to, you know, other commodities, you know, 100%, you know, watch this space, but there will definitely be more precious metals being released in the near term.
Right. And so the advantage of this approach vis-a-vis holding, you know, the physical gold is that it's easier to trade, presumably. It's easier to manage because you can hold it digitally, but you've also got the accessibility to the gold if you need it and want it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I mean, a lot of gold bugs out there probably put gold under their bed. and, you know, I don't know if that's the safest solution. And even, you know, if you have your own safe, there's certain costs associated with doing that. I think, you know, with digital gold is you have the comfort that you could always take physical in the event that you really, truly wanted physical. But also reality is it's portable. So you can go cross borders, you can take your gold wherever you wanted to. And, you know, having an honest solution like the blockchain also makes it spendable. right? You know, you can spend your gold on chain. So it creates this, I think, an ecosystem where gold, similar to Bitcoin, can become what it used to be, which was, you know, really a currency and used as a store of value. So, you know, giving that infinite fraction ability allows that to occur. You know, we couldn't do that if you chip off a little bit of a gold bar, and that's really why gold failed in the end.
Right. So if somebody wanted to convert their digital gold into real gold, I mean, what's the process? How long does it take?
Well, it's a question. So instantly to turn back into gold pass. So if you have your PMGTs, you buy them on Independent Reserve, for instance, you then have a PMGT. You can convert that PMGT into a gold pass digital certificate. So that's an application you can download, you know, on the Apple Store or the Android Store. Once you have the app, you can instantly convert your PMGT into a gold pass digital certificate. Now you're within the Perth Mint umbrella. And under that umbrella, you have the option to sell your gold directly back to them. They stream a price. You could transfer it peer-to-peer to any, you know, colleagues who may also have the application, or you can elect for physical delivery. In the event you elect for physical delivery, then you have to choose what you'd like it to be fabricated into. So do you want a large bar? Do you want a small bar? Do you want a small coin? Where do you live? How long is it going to take for delivery? So in essence, listen, I can't give you an exact answer on, you know, days, weeks, but it's probably a 3 to 5 day process to actually work with the Perth Mint on where you want your gold sold and exactly what type of gold you want delivered to your house. And then it's just FedEx to you, unless, you know, you're a large holder and they'll probably come in a truck.
Right. But presumably, you know, that is at the margin. Most of the concept here is to digitize it and allow the digital trading and holding to carry on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole concept here is it creates access to one retail and institutional market to give them the ability to buy physical gold, not buy an ETF, which is, once again, a wrapper, and it's a securities wrapper, and it's not a warrant, right, which is obviously an option on gold. You're buying physical metal. You can hold that asset in any form you want. You can take it wherever you want, and you can also sell it back on any venue you really want in the future. And that's the benefit of having it on the blockchain.
Right. And then the last question I had was just in terms of transaction costs. Obviously, you know, some transaction platforms charge quite a lot for it. Because it's digital, are the transaction costs low?
Well, PMGT doesn't charge any fees. So we don't charge any transaction fees. We don't charge any storage fees. So if you buy gold in PMGT, you don't have any form of cost. Depending on what venue you buy it on, there obviously be transaction costs if you bought it on a certain exchanges. Some exchanges charge more than others based on, you know, their insurance or whatnot. But if you're buying PMGT in the, you know, the open market, OTC or DeFi, then, you know, there's no fees associated with it.
Right. Okay. So that's good to know that. And I guess people need to do their own due diligence with regard to the particular platforms of choice in terms of how they transact. But that means, because it is quite important, if you look at some of the EFTs, you end up with significant fees if you're not careful, right?
Yeah, particularly the competing products that, you know, trying to move away from that financial middle layer again. If you look at, say, GLD, which is the largest ETF in the world, they charge 40 basis points per annum just to carry the ETF. That's before you pay your broker. That's before you pay your bank to get your money into your brokerage account to actually buy it. Then obviously there's exchange fees, you know, obviously brokerage fees, commissions, all those sort of things that go with it. So, yeah, it's definitely a cheaper solution to get into the gold market. But, you know, it's whether people are comfortable holding a digitized version or a blockchain version versus holding it as an ETF. And, you know, when ETFs first came out, that was scary too. So I think we just have to wait and see if people can get their head around actually holding assets in this format.
Right. But the point is that this is actually quite a significant innovation. It certainly changes the playing field in terms of holding gold and trading gold. And, of course, it has many of the advantages of digital, you know, which protects, I guess, into the future.
Yep, that's exactly right. And you could see, you know, a world where, you know, we're really moving back to what, you know, I think what these assets truly are. This is a commodity that you're buying. You're not buying a security, and you should hold it as a commodity, and you should have all the tax associated with it as a commodity. You shouldn't have all the tax associated with a security. You know, that's the other thing about an ETF. Like, you're paying tax as a security, not a commodity, which is very different. So there are different benefits of actually holding the asset in the correct format, the correct, I guess, legal format. You know, we're trying to take out that layer. We're trying to create a market that is fair and more efficient and actually reattribute value back to the end producer, right? The actual commodity originator. So the person who owns the underlying asset is the fabricator, is the refiner, you know, is the potentially the miner, you know, and giving a lot of the value back to them from selling it at source rather than having all these middle players, what I would call intermediaries, sitting there taking a slice along the chain till it eventually gets to the investor, consumer, et cetera, at the other end. So that's what we're here to solve, and that's what we're trying to do at Infinigold.
Right. So it's basically, it's a great example of disintermediation and basically breaking up the value chain and creating more value for the end user and the, you know, originator, rather than having many people clicking the tickets on the way through.
Yeah, I think that's the benefit of the technology. So, you know, technology is advanced. It started kind of with DigiCash. So, you know, DigiCash and David Schwamm and, you know, actually our CTO, who was one of the founding employees there as well, you know, they obviously invented a solution which was well ahead of itself. And then DigiCash here in Australia went down a similar route, you know, around digitized currencies. And I think, you know, Bitcoin has kind of shown the path on what we can do. It's opened up doors to really disintermediate a lot of these players, and technology is a fantastic tool for doing that. And, you know, it comes back to adoption. So can we break down the barriers of entry? Can we make enough on-off ramps for people to get in and out of these markets as efficiently as we created the market? And I think, you know, platforms like IR are doing a great job of that here in Australia. Obviously, platforms like Coinbase doing a fantastic job about it in the US. So, you know, as people grow and grow, and as more and more adoption comes along into the space, and adoption being acceptance, you know, I think holding an asset in a token format will kind of be forgotten about, and they'll just be holding the asset, and, you know, they won't realize they're actually trading a token.
Yeah, it becomes mainstream. And that's the thing about digitalization, isn't it? It starts early cycle and is look to be weird and perhaps a little, you know, complex to try and understand, but it quite soon becomes more mainstream. And as it becomes more mainstream and gets more volume, it then effectively just, you know, it becomes embraced and continues.
Yeah, I mean, digitization is a funny word, right? Because it's, what does it actually mean? In essence, as I said before, when you buy digital gold, you're buying physical gold. I mean, that you are buying a physical bar of gold. So what does digitization mean? It's just the legal representation of your underlying asset. Now, will we forget about the word digitization in 10 years because everything's digital, right? Every asset you pass and buy and sell will be digital. We won't say that. You just say you're buying and selling gold, you're buying and selling silver, and you're buying and selling Bitcoin. I mean, and that's what it will be. So, and that's where, you know, I think a lot of these companies today are trying to, you know, work towards.
Right. And that's the point. There's a difference between a means and an end, right? And, you know, and the blockchain basically is enabling things to happen. But as you say, eventually the means disappears and then you just come back to what you're trying to do in the first place.
Yeah, that's spot on.
Yeah. So, John, if people want to get more information, where do they go?
On PMGT, they can go to the website, so pmgt.io. If you're interested to learn a bit more about Infinigold, we have infinigoldoneword.com, and there's a bit more expansion on the team. If you're interested about the product in relation to the Perth Mint, I recommend you go onto the Perth Mint website, have a look at the products available there, and you can dig a little bit deeper into products like Gold Pass.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much for your time today. I should say that DFA isn't being paid to spruik this in any way, but it's a really genuinely interesting conversation. And I think it does mark a really interesting point of departure in terms of the further evolution of the digital world. And as I say, digital gold, here we come.
Yeah, thanks for having me as well, Marlon. Appreciate it.
Enjoy the conversation. Thanks very much. Take care.